Welcome to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. How are you guys doing today? Are we all sequestered with our pets? You know, what's been absolutely a fantastic consequence of this kind of forced vacation economic disaster is that a lot of the shelters are actually cleaned out of pets because people are home, they're kind of bored, they don't have something to do, and so many people who've never had dogs or cats before are starting to become pet owners. So this entire show is going to be dedicated to you. One of the things that I'm also doing to help people, besides financially with some people who are in kind of tough situations, is I'm going to be giving a webinar for free. It's very nice. What you'll be learning is about basic care, how to train, all the things that, you know, you go on the internet and you go, oh, look, I found this. And, oh, look, knee your dog in the chest. Or, oh, I found this. Just keep giving your dog a cookie while he's trying to be aggressive and he'll eat the cookie. And then he takes the cookie and bites the dog. So there's so much disinformation. And the problem is you don't know who knows what they're doing and who knows what they're talking about and who doesn't. So you'll get people because there's no licensing. There's not even certification except through an agency that trains someone that the fact that, like, hey, this person knows what to do. So that's a big problem. So I'm going to cut through that, and I'm doing this for everybody. We will actually be hopefully posting it on our website. Keep an eye once you see it. For the sign-in information, you will have to sign up with an email address, and then you'll have homework, and you're going to be listening to lectures, and there'll be question and answers, and it's going to be really, really fun. So we're going to start today by talking a little bit about, well, what else can we talk about? Coronavirus. All right. I can't tell you through the years how many of my friends, family, people I care about have said, man, you know, I wish I could have like a month home just doing nothing with my kids, you know, watch them grow, teach them how to ride a bike, you know, be home with my dog, be able to sleep late. Now, a lot of people, especially those who are in emergency services, essential services, supply chain, deliveries, things like that, logistics, yeah, you guys are still not home or you're working from home, some of you. But what's really important is the quality of the time. So let's all be honest about this here. Yeah, we know this isn't going to last forever, but it's changed society and it's changed America as we knew it. It's not the same America. It'll never be the same America. But maybe we can use this opportunity to make it even better. So we're all stressed. The first thing that happens, our energy affects our dog's behavior. So what happens when you get stressed, and you're upset, you lose your job. By the way, unemployment benefits look like they're going to be covering not just a percentage, but actually your entire paycheck. I believe it's up to $24 an hour in some states, up to $20 an hour in other states. So at least hopefully the financial part won't be a problem. But what's going to be great about that for you is you're going to have time to spend with your kids. You're spending time with your spouse or your significant other or yourself and your pet. So what I want you to start focusing on is come up with a little plan. What we tend to do when we get depressed and we're shut in and we're kind of forced to do it, this is like history making, because we've never had this in the entire history of our country where we've had to stay at home and have kind of forced prohibition, thank you to the governor of New Jersey. But the problem is, we stop doing the routine that the dog gets used to. So what we really want to do is try to continue the routine that we had before. So if you used to get up at 6 a.m. to walk your dog, now you don't have to get up at 6. But don't get up at noon, because what's going to happen when we all go back to work? All of a sudden, we are going to have a big problem because the dogs are going to be out of schedule. If the dog goes out 5 times a day now, because you let the dog out at 8 and 10 and 12 and, you know, 2 and 4 and 6, But when you go back to work, so now the dog is getting used to being able to, you know, go to the bathroom quite frequently. But now when you go back to work, the dog is going to be in that same schedule. It used to be where it could only go, let's say, at 6:45 in the morning and maybe the dog walker at 2 and then maybe you coming home at 7. So try to keep as much as you can to the similar schedule. Hopefully this isn't going to last that long. I mean, even if it's 6 months, that's going to fly by. And thankfully we're going into the spring and the summer and it's so beautiful out. We didn't really even have a winter this year, except where our ranch is in Missouri, which we had a heck of a winter that started in summer and is going to end next summer. But for the most part, you can keep that same pattern. And that pattern is great for dogs who crave routine. So some dogs really don't like routine. Some dogs are like Ridgebacks. I mean, they're just lazy as I stand here and watch my 10 Ridgebacks literally sleeping on my bed. I have a very large room here, and there are 10 of them literally around me as I look around, and they are all snoring. As a matter of fact, I could put you on the phone right now, and you could hear snoring Ridgebacks. It's pretty funny. So they don't care what time they go out. If they get up at 3 or 5 or 7, they'll go out then. But I'm also home with them, or I have one of our caretakers who is home with them all the time so that if anything happens, they're always safe. But a lot of people who are working in New York City, people who are working in any city anywhere in the country, you don't have that ability to stay home with the dog. And what happens is your dog is going to start getting into the new patterned behavior of, I can go out whenever I want. And you may wind up when you go back to work, your dog who was perfectly house trained for how long becomes unhouse trained because now he's trained his bladder and you've trained his bladder to be able to go whenever he needs to instead of when it's convenient and when you've trained him to. So try to keep, again, a similar pattern. Doesn't have to be the same time, but try to keep something similar so that the dog is going to continue on with his same habits and rough timing. Now, along with that, some dogs, especially dogs who are either very dominant or very fearful or uncertain, also do really well with patterns. It's kind of like a child with autism or other special needs. A lot of those kids are home now, and if you're the mom who's nodding your head right now and going, yep, my kid is completely out of control because we've changed their routine. Routine is really important for certain people and definitely for certain animals. So the same way that the kids are learning now, well, okay, the kitchen table is now my classroom, and they're getting into it. All the kids are starting to kind of pick up. Kids are malleable, sometimes ductile. So they will definitely be okay. But again, the dogs need to also be in that pattern because this is going to end. And when it does, we're going to have a ton of dogs with behavioral issues. So let's think for a moment about what we would like to do when, you know, we're working with our dog or when our kids are, you know, getting a little tired from doing all their work. So have the kids start walking your dog. Now, if you have a dog who's a little bit of a handful or who's a bit aggressive or dominant or fearful, you don't have to have the child take the dog outside down the street. You can have the child literally walk your dog around your apartment or around your house inside. It still counts as a walk. So the goal is to get the child to be interacting with the dog and having the dog following the child as if the child were the dog's mother. And that's where you start teaching the dog that the kids are above the dog, that the elder child, right, so the human child is now in charge or babysitting, basically, enforcing your rules but not making new ones. And those relationships should start burgeoning forth like the flowers and the bulbs in the spring, that all of a sudden the kids are going to have a different relationship with these dogs because the kids are now going to be part of it. The kids are home. Give them opportunities and give them chores. Hey, guess what? You're going to walk the dog for his hunt walk today. You're going to take him out. And when you're done, you're going to start your homework, do your math homework, which is going to take you, you know, somewhere between 15 and 45 minutes. So do your math homework. And when you're done, you're going to feed Fluffy. And here's what we feed Fluffy. This is how much, and this is how we do it. Now, obviously, if you have a dog who's severely food aggressive, or, you know, as they call it, resource guarding, I tend to call it what it is, food aggressive. If your dog is food aggressive, then you can change up things a little bit, but give the child the opportunity and the chore, the job, to feel good about, like, wow, I fed and walked the dog today. But again, you don't have to give your five-year-old your, you know, 100-pound dominant dog who drags everybody toward other dogs in the neighborhood. Let the child walk the dog around the perimeter of the inside of your house. So people will say to me a lot of times, oh, you know, I don't like to go out in the rain. Listen, I breed Grand Champion Rhodesian Ridgebacks. You want to talk about dogs hating to go out in the rain to potty? If you have puppies and you're going to attempt to housebreak a litter of Rhodesian Ridgeback puppies in April during the showers, and, you know, April showers bring May flowers. April showers are horrible. I will never again have a litter that goes home to families in April because the dogs hate water. They think they're going to melt. They're like the Wicked Witch of the West. My angel many years ago told me, you know, Mommy, did you know why Rhodesian Ridgebacks hate to get wet? And I said, no, Angel, please tell me. She said, well, I'm a Rhodesian Ridgeback. And what I notice is, you know, if you've ever seen the movie Wizard of Oz, and I said, of course I have, Angel. I've seen that since I was a little girl. And she said, well, remember at the end where the Wicked Witch of the West got wet when Dorothy threw the water? And remember what happened? I said, yes, the Wicked Witch melted. She said, exactly, because Rhodesian Ridgebacks are made of sugar, like a sugar cube. And Mommy, what happens when a sugar cube goes into coffee or tea, hot liquids? It melts. And you don't want me to melt, right? Because you love me. And I said, of course, Angel, I love you more than anything in the world. She said, so don't make me go out in the rain because I'll melt like a sugar cube in tea. And I said, geez, I never thought of it that way. And Angel taught me why Ridgebacks hate water. So, yeah, I get it, but you don't need to go. And obviously that was a joke. Angel was a Rhodesian Ridgeback dog, couldn't use English, although I think she probably was more intelligent than many people I know, as my Ridgebacks are, and as most dogs and animals are. But the key is, give your kids or your spouse or friends who come over, give them the opportunity to walk your dog. Again, it doesn't have to be outside. If your dog is not super well behaved or good around other animals, then you need to call us at 855-4-CANINE-PROS, 855-449-9288. You can call us and we will help you with that. But the issue really remains, what are you doing to make sure and prepare for when we all go back to normal or whatever the new normal is? And the answer is probably nothing. We're all shut in. We're all worried. We're freaking out we don't have toilet paper. We're freaking out we don't have a job. We're freaking out and panicking that somebody we know just died or got sick with the coronavirus. But you know what? My world and the world of many of the families, and most of the families who have our Merlin's Kids service dogs, which I'm going to talk about later in the From Shelter Dog to Service Dog section of our show. Most of those people, this is what they're living with. Children with no immune systems who have leukemia, who are on chemotherapy. Families who can't go out because they have an autistic child who acts out. And it's embarrassing because people don't understand that 12-year-old boy who looks completely, quote-unquote, normal, whatever normal is throwing spaghetti in the restaurant. They don't understand. So a lot of these families with special needs kids, this is nothing hard for them because this is their life. So many people 330 million people in this country, you are going to see now, unfortunately, what some families have been living with for a very long time. You're going to see how hard it is to be stuck at home. You're going to see how hard it is to not have a routine and to have to make a new normal. And we'll be okay. We will be okay. We are America. Whatever, you know, crooked politician is in the White House, whenever time, whichever political affiliation, we will survive. We are America. Whatever, you know, communist regime or socialist regime or Green Party or Labor Party or Republican or Democrat or Independent, whatever you are, we are America. We are here and we will survive. Now, do I think in a million years that if the people who are alive right now listening, maybe you guys would be okay, but let's face it, the pioneers, they had chutzpah, they had balls, man. They would go across, you know, have a baby and like drive the wagon back. And, you know, they were tough. We are such soft ninnies. We really are as a country, but we're still going to be okay because we're still America. We're still the country that everyone wants to come to. People don't leave this country. They come here. They come here because they want to be here. And they're not the ones who are complaining with all this going on, because a lot of them have come from families that have been oppressed. They're here from countries, including Russia and Asia, different countries in Asia. And all of these people came here, and they don't care if they're stuck or sequestered because they have opportunity and freedom here. And this is the first time, really, in American history since Prohibition, which we have got a little bit more of, that we're losing any of our rights. So, you know, we just don't want people to die. And do I agree with it? You know what? We got to save people. There's a limit where your civil liberties and your rights, constitutional or otherwise, do not trump mine or anybody else's. And when you go and get on a plane and go to Mexico with, 25 of your friends and come back on commercial airlines and infect all those people, yeah, you know what? That's a problem. It's the reason you can't smoke in public, because your smoke comes into my space and infringes on my health. That's why you can't smoke. Okay? So it's the same thing. One person's rights are not more important than another's. One person's disability does not get dismissed because there's someone else with a different disability. And it's the same thing with the dogs. You should not be throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Look at what our opportunity is here. Like, how many times we say, oh, I wish I could stay home. If only I had a day, I could get in the bed. Go get in the bathtub. Go. You probably got bath soap. I mean, I don't know. It seems like nobody had any Lysol, Purell, or soap or detergent on hand. And I mean, I don't know how you can't, but I have plenty if you need some. But the idea is that use this opportunity to do something great. Use this opportunity to work with your kids, to learn a new hobby, to walk your dog. Walk your dog 3 times a day. It's great. Take your dog, play with your dog. Groom your dog, because you can't take them to groomers. Go get yourself a clipper, you know, and get the guard on it so it's got like a 1-inch, hair that you can keep the hair, you know, that you're not shaving it down to the nub. And go get yourself a clipper and take your time, like a barbershop clipper. And, you know, learn how to groom your doodle mix or your whatever dog or your animal that needs to be groomed. Give your dog a bath, right? Do things that you've been saying you wanted to do. Plant a garden. That's a cool thing. And you can plant a garden even inside. Get some, you know, a tray of dirt. It's really pretty easy. And go get yourself seeds. Let your kids see how that's like how lettuce comes up. And like, oh, look at lettuce is different than tomatoes. And that's different than corn. Look at all the different kinds of leaves. And you'll have herbs and things to eat, maybe vegetables. Use this opportunity and use your dog to help your family and you to cope with the high stress that we've all got right now, the uncertainty that we've all got right now. That's what you got to do. Just get out and be positive. Don't show your kids that you're like giving up and like, oh, this is not fair and I don't know what we're going to do, because you don't want your kids to become unstable. The kids are going to pick up on you. You got nobody but you right now if you mess your kids up, right? You can't complain that it's the schools. You can't complain that it's their friends, because nobody's going anywhere and nobody's in school. So if it's too much work for you to homeschool your child, think about a family who has a child with cancer and they're homeschooling that child. Don't you think they would pray to first the day that their child could go to school, right? But they're happy to have their child because they're fighting for their child's life. How about a mother with a five-year-old with autism who has three other kids and has to stay home and take care of the children, the, you know, the family members who are there, and has to also homeschool and teach three or four kids? Can you imagine how hard that is? So, you know, we're going to be okay, but we've got to stop complaining. We've got to stop feeling sorry for ourselves. Believe me, my heart bleeds for everyone. I have been on the phone and on Facebook with dozens of people and literally sending people groceries and money and paper towels and toilet paper and Purell and anything I could get to try to help people. But I can't help everybody. But you know what would be really nice? If you have a neighbor who has a dog, right? Or if you have a neighbor who's elderly. You don't have to, I mean, don't break the social distancing, which I'm happy about because I'm the one who loves to Purell after a handshake somebody. But if you can, let's say, take your own leash and slip your leash around the dog, right? Clip your leash or wear gloves. Take your neighbor's dog for a walk. Maybe you have an elderly neighbor who can't get out, or somebody who's in the hospital, or somebody who's, you know, got coronavirus or flu or whatever. Obviously keep your distance, but there's nothing keeping you from taking that dog. Let somebody hand you the dog. You take the dog out. If it's a good dog, walk. So you don't even have to have a dog, but try to help each other. You'll see when we come out of this, we're going to be changed, all right? I'm a three-time cancer survivor. I've had more in my life, and that's not even half of what I've had. You know why I'm so grateful for every moment, even if it's a moment I'm not happy about? Because I'm here, because I'm alive. And every day I open my eyes and I don't wake up in pain and I don't wake up gasping for air and I don't wake up with chest pains. It's a great day. So think about what we've got. Most of us have got a roof over our head. Several of the people who I spoke with, including one very lovely, lovely young lady who's 20 years old, her mother went, they're from the Caribbean. Her mother left and came, and she can't come back because of the quarantine. This poor kid was in a homeless shelter. She was on the street. And she was in a homeless shelter, and she's a lovely girl, and she loves animals. She's so sweet, and she said she's so grateful because even though she didn't have food, she had like a can of beans and some like ketchup packets or something in her pantry, but she said, I'm in an apartment. I have a house now. I have a place, and she's living in the project. I mean, you and I would be like, oh, my gosh, it's so dangerous. This girl is so grateful because she's living in the projects, okay, because she's finally got a place, a roof over her head. This is America. This is an America that we need to change, and this is an America that we need to embrace. We need to help people. Take somebody who you don't even know. Take $50. If you have 50 bucks, 20 bucks, whatever you've got, find somebody nearby who needs something and just treat them to that. Buy them groceries and just have them sent to them. Do something nice for other people and do something nice for yourself. Don't forget about yourself. You want to make sure that you're taking care of you so that you can take care of everyone else. So along the lines with that is you can use, for those of you who have a dog and those of you who have have kids, either whether small or kind of middle-sized kids up to 13, 14, give the kids opportunities to use your dog as if it were a therapy dog. Now, we're assuming the dog is good, that it's in your home because it's well-behaved. But think about for a minute if you were going to have like a therapy dog. So when your child, whether the child has special needs or not, is, you know, doing homework and all, why not have the child talk to the dog and teach the dog? Best way to learn is to teach. All through the years, I've learned and taught dressage, which is that very fancy type of riding. I had lippas on horses, among others, and I've been breeding lippas on horses, and those are the ones you saw that General Patton had rescued from Austria when Hitler was trying to kill the pride of Austria, which was these magnificent white dancing horses. I'm sure you, if you're like animals, you've definitely had to have seen these horses. And one of the things is that these horses are able to do is work with people and kind of communicate through body language, body position. So I have all these different horses. I've used them as therapy horses, and I've used my dogs as therapy dogs. Well, your dog, who's well-behaved, is not going to be any different, and you can use that dog. So let's say you have an autistic child or you have a special needs child. Bring the dog in and make the dog a part of it. Say, hey, if you take Fluffy out for a walk and you went 5 miles and then I took Fluffy out and I went 2 miles, how many miles would Fluffy have gone for a walk that day? Let your kids kind of interact. Use your dog, use your pets as interactive approach to learning, because then it's more fun. You've got those of you who are listening, and I'm assuming most of you have a dog. Those of you who are listening, you've got a dog. You've got a teaching assistant. So put the things that you're getting from the teachers, from the online classes that their kids are all taking now, and start working on making that kind of work with your dog. And let your kids walk your dog. Let your kids feed the dog. Let your kids groom the dog, assuming the dog likes to be groomed. Work with things like that so you will have a lot of fun and you'll be interacting with your kids. Your kids are going to love it. The dog is going to love the attention. And you guys will be able to get the information on my free training classes that we're going to do for those of you who have either new dogs or puppies, or anybody, even if you don't have a new dog, you always have the opportunity to learn. Behavior is evolving. And it's not like, oh, well, you need to learn the newest methods of behavior. Dogs have been around way longer than we have. Dogs know way more about humans than we know about dogs. We are just, well, we're just kind of jerks about it. We just think like, yeah, you got to use a shock collar because that's the newest technique. I don't like new things. I like tried and true. Don't give me the drug that you're not sure what it's going to do. Give me the one that's, okay, it's been treating malaria. Have people died from the drug? No? Okay, let's try it. Don't give me something that you go, look at this pretty blue liquid in the beaker. I don't want to be the guinea pig, all right? So start looking at opportunities that you can take to enrich your child and your dog with the different opportunities that are around us. Walk your dog. Groom your dog, play with your dog, do fun things, but keep a routine, as loosely as it might be, keep a routine so we don't all have a problem. Well, I won't, but so you all won't have a problem with your dog potentially when you go back to, your kids go back to school, and when you go back to work and you're not home all the time, the dog is still going to be home. And we're ruining their routines now. And it's a great opportunity for us all to step back a second, take stock, and say, you know what? My kid doesn't have cancer. I am blessed. I have food. Not the food I want, but I have food. I am blessed. my husband or wife or significant other is home with me. And even though we want to kill each other, I'm blessed. I can talk to my friends on you know, social media, which I don't love, but I can FaceTime. I can speak with you. I can look at you. We can still be together. Have a great party, but have everybody doing the same thing from their home and just get it on like Zoom, right, where you have everybody together. You can do so many things together. You can play games together. Just do them separately, but together on, you know, the great platforms that we have right now. So I'm going to take a break for a couple of minutes for our delightful sponsors who pay for the ability to have our show on. And then we're going to come back with From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Please stay tuned. We will be right back. Welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. So we had a spirited early part for our show, from our for the Love of Dog section, and now we're going to have a very spirited repartee for our From Shelter Dog to Service Dog program. So this was a great week because what we've learned is people aren't really that horrible. The shelters are emptying out, right? Because people are home, they're bored, and they go, you know what? I'm bored at home. I'm going to go get a pet. Cats, dogs, ferrets, bunnies, they're all going home, which is great. But I hope and pray that everybody doesn't dump them when they go back to work. Figure it out. Find a way to keep that dog, keep that cat, keep that ferret, keep that bunny, so that that animal doesn't end up winding up going back to the shelter. And that's what I'm worried about, is that may be happening in droves later. So let's see how good all the human race of America is. So what we're going to talk about today from Shelter Dog to Service Dog is a lot of you have recently gotten a dog or a pet. So assuming that you have a dog, which is why you're listening today, let's go through some of the things, the common problems that can occur with a shelter dog coming home or a puppy coming home. And it doesn't matter if it's a grand champion show dog puppy. It doesn't matter if it's a dog whose puppy was born underneath a trailer in, you know, Missouri or under a trailer in Georgia. It doesn't matter, but it's going to take time for everybody to get together. And everybody to kind of get that, you know, Stella got her groove back. Well, Stella has to have a groove before she gets it back. You guys, many of you don't have that groove yet. So I want to go through today and teach everybody how to get that groove. Another nice thing that I think is going to be fun for everybody is during this coronavirus issue, while we are praying for everyone to get through it and for the world to get healed quickly, and the economies to please God also heal quickly, is I'm going to be giving free classes, which you'll be able to, I'm going to probably be able to tell everybody next week how you're going to sign up, and you'll get on the email list, and then we'll email you the credentials to log in, and it will be live classes. You'll actually be able to take training classes with me, and it's going to be so much fun. Because the most important part of it is going to be for everybody to know how to handle the issues that can pop up when you get a new pet or family member. So think for a minute, if a dog is out there on the streets, or the dog is in somebody's garage, or the dog is in somebody's bedroom, it doesn't matter when that dog changes wherever it's going, because all of a sudden, the dog is going to go to a different place. The dog is going to go somewhere it hasn't been before. And this can be a little bit of an issue, the reason being that the dog takes time. It takes about 2 months for that dog to know that he's staying with you, and it takes about 2 months also for the behavioral issues that could have put him in the shelter in the first place with his other family to start coming out. So you may have a dog for 2 weeks and go, oh my God, this dog is the best dog in the world. Make sure you keep up on your rules, keep up on teaching the dog and commanding respect, not demanding, but commanding respect. You're not a dictator. You're not the like, I am the boss, I'm dominant, and you will listen to me, because that's ridiculous. That's terrible. You don't want to be dominant. You want to be the parent. You want to be the mom. And you want to be the cool mom and the fun mom, but you also want to be the mom that has rules. If you can set basic rules, and I think what would be really helpful, if you pick up a copy of my book on Amazon, it's called Happens, S-H-H-H, Happens, Dog Behavior 101 by Janice Wolf. And it's like a $9 book. It's, and all the proceeds go to our nonprofit. So I don't get a penny out of it. But what's very, very cool about it is it goes into what type of characteristics to look for in a dog. It talks about the difference between getting a dog from a shelter versus a puppy mill versus a designer dog versus an AKC show breeder of merit who is like doing all the genetic testing, or just an oops dog or a backyard dog that just kind of got pregnant. And it's not just with puppies, but it's even with grown up dogs, adult dogs and older dogs. You'll see certain behaviors. And one of them that has always been interesting to me, and because I am a breeder and because I also have whelped over 200 litters, and of those, very few were Ridgebacks or were my Ridgebacks. I've whelped a number of them for other people. Whelp means kind of help the, like kind of be the doggy midwife. And one of the other things that I've seen is dogs with food issues. So let's talk a little bit about that, because if your dog seems to be kind of tenuous and a little nervous at feeding time, and he grabs a mouthful of the food and runs away and eats it, and then runs back and grabs another mouthful and runs away and eats it. If that behavior, I've seen that pop up, and what that is typically caused by, I mean, it can be caused by a few other things, but rare. What that's typically caused by is a dog who, when it was a puppy, was later in the birth order or weaker. And the dog didn't want to fight or couldn't fight for the nipple, couldn't fight for the kibble, couldn't fight for the food. So it would run up, grab that quickly, and get out of there, get out of Dodge, go eat the food, run back, try to grab another mouthful, and run back, etc. And the way you can actually handle that is don't leave the food down and feed the dog in different like three times instead of just feeding it one time and putting the food down. If the dog runs away, pick the bowl up, place the bowl down again, let the dog grab more. And if the dog, you'll see eventually, the dog is going to not leave the bowl because he knows, ooh, if I leave the bowl, you're going to take it. So it can actually help the dog. There are a lot of different things, and this is why my team, United Canine Professionals, and I always make sure we go to people's homes or they come to us and we sit down for 3 to 4 hours, go through all of this. But just as an example, that's something that you can work on if your dog has a behavior like that. So if your dog has a behavioral issue, I would strongly recommend getting my book, and also you can call us at 855-449-9288, and we will be able to, you'll be able to possibly get to me, but just you can ask for Janice. I'm happy to speak with anybody who needs my help, but we'll have a team who will answer the phone and be able to help you. And you can also email us at info@united. The letter K, number 9, pros, pros.com, or United, the letter K, number 9, United K9 Pros, P-R-O-S, at gmail.com. And those are the kind of public profile ones that you can reach out. You can also go on Wyatt's List. Wyatt's List is very cool, and it is free. There is also a paid subscription, but most of it is free. What's very cool about that is you're getting advice from people like me, from top vets. You're getting advice from people who are top behaviorists. You're getting information from people who are legit, not from a 16-year-old in Missoula, Montana, sorry, Missoula, who, you know, is just sitting on the internet and trying to tell people crazy things. These aren't crazy people. These are, and you can look on it, it's pretty amazing, the people who we've assembled. But what's cool about Wyatt's List and also with my book is I'm pretty blunt. You know, anybody who knows me knows I'm very blunt. And the reason I'm like that is I'm tired of seeing dogs in shelters. I'm tired of seeing kids get bitten, people getting bitten, dogs being put to sleep when you didn't have to have that. Just learn. Dogs have a language all their own. Learn their language. It's way easier than for them to learn every word we have. Dogs communicate by bumps, by blocks, body postures, nips, growls. And if you communicate with dogs as dogs communicate, you're going to have a better relationship with your dog. Your dog is going to understand what you want, and you're going to understand what your dog needs. And if you're not willing to, you know, teach your dog and work with your dog, you're never going to have a great relationship. Just imagine if you could learn what your significant other or what your child really wanted, like really wanted, and how they wanted it done. And you could do it that way. Wouldn't you have a better relationship with them? Of course you would, because they would know that you cared that much that you wanted to do it the best for them or the right way that they like it. Or like my husband always used to say, it's just as easy for you to do it the wrong way as the right way. So do it the right way. If I like my eggs over light and I never tell the person who's cooking for me that I like them that way and I get runny, drippy eggs, don't get mad at the person cooking. You didn't tell the person what you wanted. So same thing with your dog. Don't get mad at your dog, especially if it's a new dog that you've recently gotten. Don't be mad at your dog. You didn't tell him what you were expecting of him or her. So start learning how to communicate with your dog. And that's what I do in the book. And Wyatt's List, which is so cool, it's Wyatt, W-Y-A-T-T-S-L-I-S-T, Wyatt'sList.com. And it's going to also go through health and nutrition, temperament, finding the right breeder, finding the right rescue dog, the difference between rescues and puppy mill pet store dogs, which is great because hopefully pet stores are all shut down too, which is kind of a nice part of this, right? So hopefully puppy mills will start shutting down because they don't want to be stuck with puppies. But all of the things that are going on now are giving us an incredible opportunity to love our dogs, to work with our dogs, to teach our dogs, and to learn from our dogs. Did you ever say, gosh, I wonder, I always thought, what is my dog thinking? Well, guess what? You can look at Wyatt's List. It's going to help you to understand what your dog thinks in general, and it'll help you to have a better relationship with respect and trust of your dog. If your dog doesn't trust you and respect you, especially in these times when everybody's getting way more stressed than they're usually ever going to be, the dogs might become a little afraid of you. Some of you are going to say, you're right, Janice. All of a sudden, my dog seems like kind of to avoid me. My dog used to really be all over me and like love me, because that was when you were the cool mom who was coming home at, you know, 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock or whatever it is. And you were excited to see the dog. You hadn't seen the dog all day long. And the dog hadn't seen you all day long. And oh, we're all so happy. Oh, it's wonderful. I love you. Well, now you're home all day. So that new excitement of seeing you for the first time in hours and hours is kind of gone. So it doesn't mean your dog is depressed. It just means that things are different. Walk into the other room. If your dog, like we talked about last week, if your dog is crated when you go to work, then crate the dog for an hour and get him used to the fact that, you know, it's maybe going to be, time that he's away, but it's going to teach him that, oh, that's right, I still have to go in the crate. Then when you take him out of the crate, he comes out, and a minute later, he's so happy to see you. There you go. A lot of people love that when their dog goes crazy when they come home, and that's fine. But if your dog has behavioral issues, it's not fine because then the dog gets dominant. And we can talk about that more. You'll learn that in the book and on wyattslist.com also. If you do have any questions, please do reach out to us at unitedk9pros@gmail.com. You can reach out to us at merlinskids.org. And actually at Merlin's Kids, we're going to be, like I said earlier, providing some free training. We're going to be giving some free training tips and behavioral tips, which is even more important for those of you who might want to train your dog to be a therapy dog. This is a great time because your dogs are going to get so used to all the stress in the air that, you know, eventually these dogs are going to, you know, going to be great at sorting out when somebody is stressed. So if you're stressed and your dog kind of comes up to like lick your face a little bit, don't tell him to go away. Pet him. Because that means that the dog is starting to pick up on your stress hormones, cortisol. And many dogs can be trained to alert to cortisol. So it's a great thing. So, you know, use this opportunity that we all are blessed with right now and cursed by. Use this opportunity to be able to teach your dog what you want him to do. And give them a new job. Give them something to do. Give your kids that job. Make up a little chore chart like I do so that the kids know what their job is. And yes, this is your job. Today you walk Fluffy. Tomorrow you give Fluffy water. Whatever it is, give them a job. Give your dog the opportunity to bond with the whole family. Give your dog also the opportunity to help your kids and your family through a really stressful time. And don't forget, please be kind to each other. Just do some nice things for somebody, even if it's somebody you don't like. It's pretty funny when you do something for someone you don't like, how they're just caught off guard, caught completely unaware, and it's pretty funny. And then they don't know what to say. They might say, that's really nice. Thank you. And maybe next time, instead of giving you the finger when they're driving down the street, maybe they'll actually be nice. Maybe we will actually come out as a better America. Maybe we'll actually be nice to each other for once. Just be nice. Why can't we just be nice, be cordial? You know, the golden rule that we all learned when we were kids and have probably never followed as adults? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Be nice to people. They may be nice back. And if they're not, that doesn't reflect on you, that reflects on them. Same thing with your family. Take charge and take stock of what's going on right now. Be in charge like a mother would do, not like a dictator would do. Cherish your kids. When they wake up in the morning, say, thank God you're healthy. Thank God we're all here. Thank God we didn't just have a tornado or a tsunami or a hurricane destroy everything we had and everything we knew and kill any of our family. We are so blessed that we can't see how lucky we are because all we're doing is focusing on what we don't have instead of taking stock of what we do have. We are the luckiest country in the world. God bless this great country. So I will see you all next week. Please do something nice for somebody just because. Please stay safe, and I will pray for all of you, and I hope you will all pray for each other. God bless.